Welcome to Write Your Story with your host, Angela Robertson. Kia ora and welcome to our Write Your Story program. I'm Angela Robertson, a local author, speaker, and facilitator of the popular Write Your Story community workshops. I'm fascinated with people and their stories, which is why I write, and why I encourage and support others to capture their life stories for themselves, their family, friends, and for future generations. It's never too late to capture your life experiences, noting the context and cultural norms of the day. Each week on this program, I'll guide you through the process, and along the way, I'll share ideas, tips and examples from my own experience and the experiences of others within our Write Your Story community. As the new year unfolds, we're sharing and discussing a variety of topics to assist you to get your thoughts down onto the page. Initially, we're focusing on general themes to help you get into the rhythm of writing in short bursts on a regular basis. With practice, over time, you'll grow more confident in your ability. The episodes that went to air in February centered on summer holidays. For the next few weeks, the theme is on New Year's resolutions and goals. You are most welcome to make notes as we go, so that you can refer to them later. So, pens and the notebooks at the ready? Then let's get started. New Year's resolutions and goals make a great backdrop for a story because they're full of hope, pressure, humour, and the basic human desire to make changes and reinvent ourselves. We've all got stories about this topic. When I look back, I can recall the ritual and the conversations with family and friends regarding our New Year's resolutions. The list went a bit like this. Lose weight, stop smoking, cut out sugar, stop swearing, stop wasting time, or for want of a better word, procrastinating. Stop being disorganised. In hindsight, I can see that many of our resolutions were rooted in a disturbing sense of dissatisfaction. It meant I had to give something up. Sometimes these resolutions took off with a burst of enthusiasm. But more often, even with the best intentions, they never quite evolved into lasting habits. And the meaningful transformational change we'd hoped for. For one reason or another, it all seemed too hard. What was your experience? Perhaps you'd like to jot down what comes to mind. I'll tell you a bit of my story. I'm not sure when I gave up making New Year's resolutions and made the shift to thinking about what I wanted to experience each year, not what I wanted to give up, but what I wanted to add, to brighten my life. Instead of New Year's resolutions, I began to set goals. And this process made me feel like I was moving forward, even if the steps were tinsy-wincy small. Goals, whether they were big juicy ones or small but important ones, were motivating and allowed progress. Here are some examples of my goals over the year, and seeing as I'm ancient, I could lengthen it into several weeks. We'll start with change jobs, get a degree, learn how to play the ukulele, redecorate the house room by room, take up a new hobby each year just for fun, research my family history, simplify my life Think finances, possessions, etc. Volunteer for one or two worthwhile causes. Visit my family in the UK. Cruise down the Mississippi. Write a book. Facilitate a class for the community. Say yes to things that spark my curiosity and say no to things that don't. As time has passed, I realise I wasn't necessarily reinventing myself. Goal setting opened doors for me to experiment and rediscover myself. And this for me was a much more rewarding and fulfilling experience. When I resigned from my job and no longer spent hours commuting each week, I suddenly find myself with something I hadn't had in years. Time. Real spacious time. The kind that lets long ignored goals drift back into view. One of those goals had been waiting on the back burner for far too long. And today I'm going to share the story of how I finally tackled it. This might resonate with you in your own life. Are you ready? In later life, I set myself a simple but surprisingly daunting intention. Simplify my life. I've been working on this task gradually without any pressure. It's been surprisingly eye-opening. In the process, I've begun to understand myself and my patterns in an entirely new light, and some of them have been very amusing. A quick look around my home revealed just how much potential there was for change. Every corner seemed to whisper, "Start here." But the decision about where to begin wasn't that difficult at all. As a researcher, writer, and teacher, I had accumulated mountains of paper over the years. Drafts of projects, teaching resources, study materials, half-formed ideas sketched out, waiting for the right time to bring them to life. It was the kind of slow-growing clutter that feels harmless until one day you realise it's taken over. That was the moment I knew exactly where my simplifying journey had to start. Once I acknowledged the paper mountain for what it was, I felt a mix of determination and dread. Paper is sneaky. It doesn't shout for attention in the way that an overstuffed wardrobe or a chaotic kitchen does. It just settles quietly into drawers, shelves, and boxes, gathering in layers like sediment. Every sheet represented something. The assignments I lost sleep over, a project I once cared about, a course or many courses that I taught, an idea I meant to return to one day. Letting go wasn't just about recycling. It was about releasing versions of myself I no longer needed to carry with me. I started in the garage by tackling one box, one shelf, one folder, one stack of papers at a time. At first I read everything as if each page might contain a forgotten treasure. But the more I sorted, the more I realised that most of it had already served its purpose. The value had been in the learning, the writing, the thinking, the sharing, not in the physical paper itself. That realisation made the process lighter. Of course, there were moments of nostalgia. I found handwritten notes, elaborate plans, early drafts of projects that had shaped my career, and scribbled ideas that made me smile at my own enthusiasm. Some things I kept, not out of obligation, because they genuinely sparked something meaningful. Everything else went into the recycling bin with a surprising sense of relief. As the pile shrank, something shifted inside me. As the shelves emptied, my thoughts felt clearer too. I felt more focused, more grounded, more present. It was as if simplifying aspects of my physical environment had simplified my inner world too. I have to admit, the sheer volume of paper lurking in our garage was astonishing. It took several rounds of sorting to make any real progress. I began with the boxes that were easiest to decide on. The ones filled with the obvious keep or let go material. What surprised me was how each cull revealed yet another layer beneath it, as if the paper itself had been multiplying in the dark. Old research notes, abandoned projects, half-finished ideas, all waiting for attention that I hadn't the time or the energy to give, and really I no longer cared for. Tackling the easy boxes first gave me the momentum I needed. With every bag of recycling that left the garage, the task felt a little less overwhelming and a little more possible. By the time I finished, the garage looked different. But more importantly, I felt different, lighter, more intentional, more in control of my life. The life I was choosing to build now that commuting and career pressures no longer dictated my days. And that's the heart of this story. Simplifying for me isn't really about tidying. It's about reclaiming space, physical, mental, emotional, so that I can move forward with clarity and purpose. The garage isn't the only corner of the house where paper has taken up residence. Over the decades, it's migrated into the loft and settled itself into other rooms as well. The office bookshelves and drawers are packed tight. The roll-top desk in the lounge hides its own little archive. And even the wardrobes contain boxes filled with forgotten paperwork. Clearing the garage gave me a sense of momentum, a feeling that this mountain could be climbed after all. That small success encouraged me to keep going, using the same manageable approach. One box, one shelf, one stack of papers at a time. It's amazing how much progress you can make when you stop thinking about the whole house and focus instead on the next small pile in front of you. Some discoveries have been charming, others baffling. We have an entire drawer full of old maps, relics from holidays long before the GPS made them obsolete. There are folders of magazines, bundles of letters from family overseas, and stacks of birthday and Christmas cards saved from years gone by. I've unearthed samples of our children's and grandchildren's artwork. Each piece, a tiny time capsule of who they were at that moment. And of course, there are the oddities that make me laugh. Receipts for things that we no longer own. Manuals for appliances that broke a decade ago, or maybe two decades. And notes I wrote to myself that no longer make any sense. Every item tells a story, but not every story needs to be kept in physical form. Sorting through it all has become a slow, thoughtful process of deciding what still matters and what can I finally let go of. Sorting through all this paper has become far more than a household task. It's a kind of archaeology of my own life. Layer after layer of who I've been and what I cared about and the moments that shaped our family. Every drawer I open seems to hold a small fragment of the past, and each piece asks the same question. I ask it every day. Do I still need to carry this? Some items tug at the heart more than others. The old maps remind me of the holidays when we navigated by instinct and road signs, long before phones told us where to turn. The old AA magazines feel like snapshots of a different era, when planning a trip meant poring over pages rather than tapping a screen. Letters from families overseas bring back the excitement of hearing from loved ones in their own handwriting, something that feels increasingly rare. I'm hanging on to those. And the cards, the artwork, the little treasures from our children and grandchildren. These are the pieces that make me pause the longest. It's heartbreaking in some ways. But even with the nostalgia, I'm learning that holding on to every physical reminder doesn't make the memories any stronger. In fact, the opposite is true. As I let go of the excess, the moments that truly matter rise to the surface with more clarity. I'm discovering that simplifying isn't about erasing the past. It's about honouring it without being buried by it. It's empowering to choose what stays. Each decision feels like a small act of intention, a way of shaping the life that I want to live now, rather than the one I lived years ago. And with every box emptied and every folder sorted, I feel a little lighter, as if I'm making room, not just in my home, but in my mind and in my days. This process is slow, sometimes emotional, occasionally surprising, but it is also deeply satisfying. I'm not just decluttering paper, I'm clearing space for the next chapter in my life. We've all got stories about New Year's resolutions and goals. Some are triumphant, some may be unfinished, and some take us in directions we've never expected. Whatever shape yours take, writing them down can be a powerful way to understand what truly matters to you. As the new year unfolds, consider capturing your own hopes, plans and small beginnings on the page. You might be surprised by what you discover about yourself along the way, just as I have. Well, folks, that's all we've got time for again today. Be sure to tune into our Write Your Story program next week for more ideas and tips on how to capture life stories. Until then, this is Angela Robertson signing off. Noho ora mai, and have a great day.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.